perspective.
But Krishna takes care of his devotees and does what's best for them to bring them back to his lotus feet. In fact, sometimes Krishna, many times Krishna puts us in difficulty. I mean, of course, that's what Krishna says, yashaham anugrinami harishe tadanam shanai, isn't it? And there's different types of difficulty. I mean, not only health problems that occur or whatever. There's adiatmik, adibodhik, and adidaivik. And sometimes adidevodiak. Yeah, yeah. That means... I mean, sometimes the other devotees... Anyway, there's sometimes politics, even in devotee community, isn't it? It's interesting. But whatever happens, we should see it's being arranged by Krishna. Anything outside of our control? Certain things are within our control. Like stopping at red lights, you know, when you're driving. Wearing a seatbelt. Like if you're in India, I was just in India, about a month and a half or 2 months ago or something, and I put my seatbelt on. I was in a taxi, and the driver said, "You don't have to wear that. We're not in Delhi yet." I said, "All right, I'll wear it." But as soon as we get to Delhi, he puts his seatbelt on, and he makes sure of my seatbelt, because there's a law in Delhi, but not when you leave Delhi. So there's certain things that we do or should do for our own protection and take precautions. Like you wear a coat, you know, if it's cold out. It was cold today. I got out of the airplane, so I put something on to keep me warm. So, but there's things outside of our control. It's like what other people do, what other people say, what, you know, diseases. We take some precautions, like we exercise every day and do other things like that. Some precautions can be taken. But most things are outside of our control. Or like earthquakes, right? Like in Christchurch, you had that earthquake. So those things we see that Krishna has arranged. If we're devotees, Krishna has arranged. If we're not devotees, then it's good old karma. You know, what goes around comes around. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, right? But if we are devotees and we're chanting seriously and trying to please their lordships, then Krishna arranges it. And, hey, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Wasn't it Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day was recently? See, we celebrated your appearance day all over the world. So things that I mentioned, Adi Devotiak for a reason, that because the most painful thing, even more painful than, you know, some disease or something like that, is when people just do politics against you or say something, or someone who you really trust, love. That happens in family situations sometimes, like the husband will say to the wife, "I hate you," and the wife will say to the husband, "I hate you." And I'm not saying it happens here, but sometimes it happens in other places, other countries. So when that happens, it's very painful. It's like in the heart. Actually, the heart feels pain. That's proof that the soul is in the heart, right? I mean, if the soul was somewhere else in the arms, oh, you're giving me pain in my arms. You know? Then nobody says... I'm offering my liver to you or something. It's always offering my heart. And Valentine's Day, they always have heart-shaped chocolate, not lung-shaped chocolate or nose-shaped. You know, it's always heart-shaped, right? So anyway, so it's really painful, isn't it? I mean, it's just super painful. So then we should ask ourselves, why is Krishna doing it? Because if we're getting angry, disturbed at the person who is the immediate cause, then we're just as responsible as the person who's doing it for that action. Of course, that's brought out in the Bhagavatam, in the story of Maharaj Parikshit. coming across the cow and the bull that were being hit by Kali. And the bull was asked, Dharma the bull was asked, he was standing on one leg and urinating. And he was asked, who has done this? And the bull said, it's very difficult to ascertain. In other words, it's Krishna. And Krishna in the Gita says, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, and I'm never lost to him. So why is Krishna doing it? And of course, the obvious answer is to help us become Krishna conscious. But then why? What am I supposed to learn? There's all lessons. Life is full of lessons. We just did one program in Govinda's in Sydney. You all know Govinda's in Sydney? Anyway, it's a very nice place. This is run by this Jodi Kotapana. Anyone's been there? No. Very nice. And they have like a theater there. So we took over the theater and we did a past life regression for everybody. And we were saying there's a lesson to learn. Every lifetime you're supposed to learn a lesson. Every life, there's a purpose. That's called in philosophy teleology. There's a purpose behind everything. So everything that happens to us, there's a purpose. So what is the purpose? What am I supposed to learn? How am I supposed to react? How am I supposed to think of that person who's doing that? You know, naturally, we tend to get angry. You know, someone does something, and we just get angry. We become like Durvasa Muni. Right? And Durvasa Muni, you don't know him. There's so many examples in the Vedic literature about sages who get angry and then they take the water out of the water pot. You've seen that? They pour the water in their hand and they just throw it at you. And practically all the demons, most of the demons in Krishna Lila became demons because they were cursed by different sages, right? You know, because one of them appeared naked before the sage, and this sage is going to curse you. Like that, to become a cart. You know, Sakata Shura. And then, anyway, so many stories like that. So, that is our immediate response, you know, anger. You know, why is this happening to me? I'm innocent. I never did anything bad. But then, what do we learn? Well, we have to learn compassion for the person, like Haridas Thakur, compassion for the person who was, or the persons who were whipping him in the marketplaces. And we have to come to the point. What I've seen, actually some of the nicest japa I've ever had, is when I'm praying for the people who cause me pain, or stimulate pain, that causes me pain. I cause myself pain, but it says, you know, I had that realization. I was going for a walk in the park one time, and I was thinking, you know, how can I concentrate on my japa? And so I'll pray for that person. And I just kept praying, and it was just like really connected with Krishna. It's really amazing. When you pray for someone, I mean, it's easy to pray for someone who does things for you. You know, bless me, here's a donation. Okay, Hare Krishna, and you'll pray for it. That's easy. You know, give me a piece of electronics and I'll pray for you more. So, but if you actually pray for someone, I mean, Lord Jesus Christ did that in the Bible, you know, forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do, then you really develop, because that's compassion. Because without compassion, there's really no advancement in Krishna consciousness. Until you see all living entities, yastu sarvani bhutani atmane evana pashati, sarvabhutesha chatmanam tatona vigigupshate, connected. And you love everyone because they're connected with Krishna. They're Krishna's parts and parcels. They're not disconnected. If you get angry with someone, you're not seeing them as connected with Krishna. You're seeing them as separate. And, of course, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam that yatha bhasha yatha tama. That's his illusory energy, to see something as not being connected to him. Isn't it? One of the Chaturshloki verses. So if you see something that's not connected to Krishna, then that's Maya. That's illusion. We are disconnected from Krishna. So anyway, so we learn our lesson. We pray for the person who has stimulated our pain. The lesson we basically have to learn is one of compassion and love. Like, what was that? Oh, Vasudeva the leper. Can you imagine that? As another example. Vasudeva the leper had all these little wormies in his body. And, you know, and they were crawling in the body. Can you imagine how disgusting that would be? I mean, myself, if I see one mosquito get close, I go, whack! Isn't it? Like in India, you know, whack. I get even get angry at them, you know. Get out of here! You know, you put a mosquito net over you, and there's some mosquito happens to make it inside the net. And it's like living at the airport, you know, all night long. Zoo, coming in for a landing. And you even start hitting your ears. But Vasudeva, the leper, he had leprosy, and these worms were in his body, and when one fell out, he put it back in. I'm not saying that we can come to that platform. That's extraordinary. But in other words, he was feeling so much love and compassion even for the worms, what to speak of other living entities. So, in other words, Krishna wants to bring us to that point because that's a prerequisite. You understand the word prerequisite? That has to be attained. It's a necessary ingredient for pure devotional service. It's not optional. You know, you can't go back to Godhead hating anybody or having bitterness towards anybody. So anyway, Krishna arranges that. And Krishna takes care of his devotees in all ways. He takes things away. He may take our health away. He may take our, you know, happy relations away. He may take the good weather away. Just like we were in Sydney, it was good weather here. Krishna's taking away the good weather. We're here in New Zealand. So Krishna is so kind. But he's always taking care of us like that. We're always in Krishna's hands. So anyway, in the case of this devotee, Ram Govinda, that I could see he was in Krishna's hands because Krishna was arranging for me to see him right before he passed away. And then also, another point is I told the devotees what to do when someone is passing away or someone's getting close to passing away, that you read Krishna's pastimes to the person. You don't read so much philosophy because they were just reading Bhagavad Gita. And, you know, you're sick there, and you're being told you're not the body. It doesn't... See, the preaching has to be done according to time, place, and circumstance. So when someone is getting ready to leave their body, you read Leela to them. That's important. Because they have to focus their mind on the other world. You know, Sambandha and Abhideya, they're put to the side, and then there's Prayojana. At that point, Prayojana means going back to Godhead. So you read Leela. So right before he left, I instructed the family, you read about the pastime, like Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna book. You read so he can have a goal to focus on, you know, where he's going. So that's very important too. And that was important instruction for the devotees to hear, that there's a time when you just want to focus on Krishna Leela. And of course, we should focus on Krishna Katha, which means philosophy, Leela, instructions all the time. But specifically, when one's getting ready to leave their body, we should be.
Bhagwan.
Oh, Bhagwan! How did you get here, Bhagwan? You're full of all opulences. But it's Peter. What are you doing here? It's Peter Paksh. Business is good at this time, isn't it? Really? You've been here?
Yeah. I came in 6th September.
Oh, you came 6th of September. But you're missing the busy time in Fiji of Peter Pox, right? Well, then it's Deva Pox after that. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. You going back to Fiji soon?
Friday?
You going to go back to Fiji?
In December.
December. Oh. Not till December. Anyway, it's good to see you. Wow. Well, I'm sure it's not my car. Yeah. All right, whoever left the lights on, please turn the lights off. Okay. So, anyway, getting back to the point. Getting back to the point is that, yes, it's Leela, Krishna's Leela. It's very sweet. So we should be endeavoring to hear Krishna Leela, Krishna Katha, Krishna's philosophy all day long. whatever we're doing, whenever there's a spare moment, when we're driving, when we're walking, Krishna's been so kind to give us this nice technology where we can hear, like, audio books, classes, you know, almost 24 hours a day, and have, you know, you could have Prabhupada speak to you as you're taking rest at night, every night. You know, just, so it's so nice. And just avoid this prajalpa, this unnecessary talk. Confirmed. So, anyway, so these are some of the lessons I've learned during the last week or so in Sydney. It's a very nice association, nice devotees there, very sweet. So anyone have any questions? Questions or prasna? Yeah.
You have just mentioned that we have to come to that level of compassion. How yeah. can we get to that? Like, it's very difficult. Suppose if someone in this room says something to me, and how we can just pray for that?
Yeah, well, the problem is that normally we always defend ourselves. Well, there's these four animalistic propensities, right? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Defending means also verbally. Like if someone says, "You are stupid," you say, "I am not. I'm more intelligent than you." Right? I mean, you get... So, first thing is you recognize. You actually recognize that, you know, that to respond like that is not Krishna conscious. Then you understand, why am I wanting to respond like that? I'm wanting to respond like that because I want to protect myself. However, Krishna is protecting me. Like, what about Draupadi? She wanted to protect herself too. But when she threw her hands up, then what happened? Krishna protected her. So we understand, no, Krishna's protecting me. We have a saying when I was young, what is it? Sticks and stones can break your bones. You ever hear this? Here's a new poem for you. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. So if someone is hitting you, then definitely defend yourself. So, but then try to understand, why is that person saying that? See, if someone is being nasty, they're experiencing pain in their heart. They're the ones who are suffering. You can cause your own suffering by your false ego. Because we're so attached. We're so attached to good reputation, especially in society, isn't it? If someone makes a rumor about us that, you know, I saw Krishna Chandra at the karaoke club last night. You know, so we're so attached, you know, good reputation. But this is simply false ego. We really have to become a Kinchana Gotra. Janmaishwarya Shudashashibir Enamana Adapuman. Right? Detach from this, you know, attachment to good birth and, you know, prestige and thinking ourselves so learned and our bodily beauty. Yeah, I was just in the airplane, and there's so many advertisements in the airline magazines about plastic surgery. And it's amazing. And it showed before and after pictures. You know, some lady with a cheek out like that, you know, really ugly, and then next picture she becomes a Bollywood movie actress, you know. So we're so attached to what people think about us. Rather, we should transform that into attachment of thinking, of being concerned with how Krishna, or what Krishna thinks of us. Right? Like Prabhupada said, we shouldn't try to see Krishna, we should try to have Krishna see us. So see us by our devotion. So what does Krishna think of me? What does my guru think of me? My guru is, we should picture, and I mentioned this before, whenever I make a decision, I try to think, you know, Prabhupada was here, what would he want me to do? Would Prabhupada be happy? Would Prabhupada not be happy? I ask that same question to people sometimes who have left the society, your Krishna conscious society, and they've made their own societies. I said, would Prabhupada be happy? If Prabhupada was here, what would he say to you? And they can't answer, of course. They say, well, I'm doing this because someone chastised me. I wasn't dealt with fairly. I said, you know, that's besides the point. Actually, fairness, you don't get fairness in this world. If you're expecting material fairness, you're in the wrong place. Prabhupada, I was reading another thing, and in the plane I was reading some discussion Prabhupada had with someone. He said, there's no utopia even in the spiritual world. There's no fairness even in the spiritual world. Krishna does whatever he wants. You know, he's a debauchee. You know, why doesn't he just stay with Radharani? Why does he make believe he's with Chandravali? You know, it's not fair. Why another thing is that really bothers me is why did Lord Ram send Sita Devi away? That's the one pastime I don't like. I have to be honest. You know, if I was to make believe I like that pastime, I don't. I hate that pastime. Isn't it where poor Sita Devi, just because some rascal is talking in Ayodhya, you know, some lower class person is talking, and then poor Sita Devi has to be sent away. And finally, when she comes back, Lord Ram asks her, you know, if you really want to assume your position or reassume your position, you have to promise in front of everybody that you were chaste. You know, it's just like slapping her in the face, isn't it? You know, there she is in the ashram of Valmiki Muni. He said she's chaste. The kids are there. And you just have to say, I'm chaste. And she says, this is too much. You know, please, you know, Mother Earth, you know, because I'm chaste, please take me away from this horrible place. Right? So isn't that so unfair? But there's a higher purpose to that. Anyway, the higher purpose is that when Sita Devi is meditating on Ram and Ram is meditating on Sita, even though externally they're separated, they're never separated. I mean, that's another point, too. So, but still, you know, you talk about fairness. And oftentimes we say, it's not fair, I'm being treated so badly, it's not fair. And that other person who's not doing everything right is being treated nicely. Life is not fair. Well, it's not meant to be fair. It's meant to bring you to Krishna's lotus feet. That's what it's meant. So you can always be involved in loving exchanges with the Supreme Lord and His eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. That's really what life is meant for. You know, the purpose. So don't complain when things aren't fair to you. Just accept it. So, how to do it? Just understand that Krishna is doing it. Don't hate the perpetrator. See Krishna. And that means you may have to take a time out. You may have to just like take a few deep breaths. Before you respond, you know, just take a nice japa walk for about 3 hours. I find that helps quite a lot. You know, you just go. Whenever there's a heated emotion, you know, emotion that's unpleasant, you just go take a walk. You don't keep speaking to the other person. Take your little japa beads and go to the park and disappear. And then you come back and you're praying to Krishna, Krishna, please help me, please help me. And then Krishna purifies you. So I found the difficulties help us take shelter of japa too. Prabhupada said, an easy time and Krishna consciousness don't go well together. Mm-hmm. That's Prabhupada. You know, I accept Prabhupada. So, you know, without opposition, what is the chance for a glorious victory? Like if you had the battle of Kurukshetra, like Arjuna is there in his chariot, and then all of a sudden Duryodhana says, I surrender. That's so interesting, is it? So many people, it's nice. So Duryodhana says, I surrender, and Grandfather Bhishma says, yeah, I was in Maya, you know. And everybody lives happily ever after. Life doesn't happen like that. So with difficulty is an opportunity for advancement in Krishna consciousness. It's a real opportunity. And to really show your colors, to pass the test, right? To show who you are. You know, and you're being tested by Krishna. You better believe it. to see. Krishna wants to see how you respond. And if you respond in a Krishna conscious way, you make a lot of advancement. Like I said, if you're chanting japa and you're praying for the people who attacked you, you won't believe how much mercy Krishna will give you. You won't believe it. I mean, Krishna, you'll be overwhelmed like that because you're doing what pleases Krishna at every minute. Does that make sense? So you just think, in other words, you have to be goal-oriented. What is my goal? To be Krishna conscious. So to be Krishna conscious, I have to really open up my heart. It can't be just words, you know, I pray for you, although I wish you were dead. So, you know, you can't just like, most people pray and there's a disconnect between the brain and the heart. Like I said, it's funny, I see some devotees say, I have no other desire than pure devotional service. And I'm thinking, oh yeah. You know, you're really disconnected. Right? But like Dhruva Maharaj, he wasn't disconnected. He was just honest. He actually revealed to the Lord his desires. And because of that, and he took association with Narada Muni, followed Narada Muni's instructions, had his mercy. But because of that, he wasn't dishonest with himself. So that's another point, to be actually honest with ourselves. Not to think of ourselves as being more advanced than we are. And if we think ourselves more advanced than we are, Krishna will show us we're not really advanced. You'll say, how could I have thought like that, have done that, like that. Anyway, it's better to act and think properly and from one's heart before Krishna actually smashes you more. You know, puts you in another circumstance. And if you really do that, then, anyway, then you'll have another test after that. For the next level. But it's not fair. Anyway, what can you do? That's the way life is. But we're meant to love Krishna. That means detachment from prestige, detachment from bodily pleasures. I mean, really, Krishna wants to bring you to the point of vairagya. The only attachment is to give pleasure. Anyabhi lashita shanyam jnana karma anabhitam anukulyena krishnana shilinam bhaktivinoduma. The only attachment should be to give pleasure to Krishna in the way that he wants from your heart. That's actually the nutshell verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. From your heart. Everything should be from the heart, not just from the head. Prayers are from the heart. Okay, any other questions? Yeah. Vaishnavi.
One of the other classes you gave in there, you talked about the first thing, when you asked the question, for practical purposes, if someone runs you over with the car and the person sees who can say, the lawyer will say, you know, that for practical reasons, you say that this person ran me over.
Yeah.
How do we balance that when it comes to, so we shouldn't be attacked? But at the same time, do the external
what you mean. Yeah, I mean, if you can make money by suing him. That's a practical thing. I can give the money to Krishna. That's a practical thing, but but you shouldn't hate the person. The point is, you know, I'm speaking jokingly, of course. The point is not to hate anyone or anything. That's what the Isopanishad says. If you are feeling hateful, then you got something to work on. If you consider anyone to be your enemy, that's one of the qualities of a Vaishnava, is ajata shatrava, according to Kapiladeva, Lord Kapiladeva. If you consider anyone to be your enemy, then that's a sign that you have some spiritual issues to deal with. And you have to work at it. I mean, you shouldn't condemn yourself and say, now I'm such a rascal, I'm a demon. Then you start hating yourself, considering yourself to be the enemy. But you say, no, this is an indicator. Like when you take a test, you don't do well on the test. It means you have to work on certain things. Like if I'm taking a test in mathematics and I don't do well in multidimensional calculus. Do any of you know what that is? No. But if I don't do well in multidimensional calculus, that means I have to work on it. The purpose of tests is not to abuse you when you're going to school. Although appears like that, doesn't it? Like the teacher says, and now there's a test. You go, oh. Yeah, but really the purpose of the test is to see, help you see where you need help. So even if you don't pass the test, it's good that you failed it. I was reading another article today about bringing up children. And it says, well, the best way to bring, one of the best things to do, bring up children, let them fail sometimes. You know, because if you just give a child an easy test, how much is one and one? Oh, you did great, too. You gotta challenge them. Let them fail. Okay. This is where you gotta work harder. So Krishna does that with us. This is where you gotta work harder. And it's nice because I personally want to become Krishna conscious. I don't know about the rest of you. And anyway, Krishna sends things. Like Queen Kunti says, what's it? Tatra, Tatra, Jagat Guru, right? I don't say you should say that. And I don't say I should say it either. I'd be scared to say, again and again, send misery. So. You know, I'm too scared to say that. But when Krishna does send it, you know, I'll accept it. But not that I ask for more. Queen Kunti was asking for more. Why? I apunara bhava darshana, because we'll remember you and we won't take repeated birth and death in this material world. So, but then you get so much nectar. The nectar that you get from learning the art of compassion from your heart for other living entities is unlimited. You can't imagine. You'll be crying in ecstasy. That's it. Not that you, to become Krishna conscious, not that you just run to Vrindavan and just go under the trees and wait for Radha and Krishna. I knew someone who went to one of the kunjas and he stayed there all night because he heard Radha and Krishna would dance there at night. So he buried himself under the leaves or something like that. And he was waiting for Radha and Krishna to dance. And actually, all he got was attacked by the monkeys. He saw the monkeys dancing. He didn't see Radha and Krishna. That's what the monkeys do. It was in the city of Vrindavan. And the monkeys get ferocious at night. During the day, they're pretty bad too, isn't it, Vrindavan? They steal your glasses, take your camera, everything. One time I got angry. A monkey took someone's glasses. I ran after him with a stick and I was yelling at him and everything. It didn't do any good. The monkey started laughing at me. I broke a tripod. You know, the camera tripod? Because I was running after him with a tripod. You know, just it didn't do any good. And the monkey just started laughing, and then he chewed on the glass. It wasn't my glasses, someone else's glasses. He just started chewing on them like that, and then threw them back, and they were all ruined. So in other words, you won't make advancement simply by going, hiding under a tree, waiting to see Radha and Krishna dance. But by treating their parts and parcels with great love. And that's the point. That means at least Madhya Madhikari. You know, so many of us, we're still just hovering on the Kanishtha platform, where there's Radha and Krishna, and everyone else is rascal. You know, or Krishna's only in the temple, right? Krishna's only in the temple, and then outside the temple, you know, it doesn't matter what I do, who I interact with, what. It's nonsense. Anyway, we should become at least Majjhima. And then when you become Majjhima, then you can easily progress. Real Majjhima, you can really easily progress to Uttama. Real Majjhima. Real Majjhima doesn't hate people. He may avoid the atheists or people who are not receptive. Hey! Peace. Peace and love. Peace, brother. Well, what a nice surprise. So many people here. So,
well,
I'll just finish it up. So real Majjhima actually may avoid people who are inimical, because that's one of the qualities of Majjhima, but he doesn't hate them. There's no hate in the Majjhima's heart. So if you have any hate or animosity, you're not on the platform of Majjhima. You may get angry at the atheists when they blaspheme. That's a different thing. But it's not hate. You don't hate anyone or hate anything. That's just Upanishad. Basic lesson from the Upanishad. Okay, some philosophy. Then there's prasadam or no? No? Oh, Guru Puja. Feet washing. Pada Abhishek. Pada. If I was actually humble, I would wash each and every one of your feet here. Like Jesus Christ did with his followers, isn't it? If I was actually a devotee, I would do that. But I'm too puffed up to do that. Okay, so we do a little ceremony. Oh my God, I spoke for too long.